Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of Fat Mascara is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. Plus, it can help you develop coping skills that make your life easier. I will give you an example. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you've probably heard me say it to Jess or to a guest, reframe. Well, I learned that technique from a therapist. Here's an example. Now that I'm a freelance writer and podcaster, I get lonely working from home, and I feel like I'm never going to get to collaborate on projects again. And that's the truth. Reframe, I get to choose which projects I work on, so I'm in control of what I work on. And if I want to collaborate more with others, I don't have to ask anyone's permission. I can just do it. See what I did there? That's reframing. If you've been thinking about starting therapy or are looking for someone to help you process things and give you coping skills, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/mascara today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/mascara. Again, BetterHelp.com/mascara. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey everyone, welcome to Fat Mascara. I'm Jess.
I'm Jen. Hi, happy Friday.
Happy Friday. So this episode is a very, very exciting episode for us. This is a little bit by request. When you guys have, you know, sent us emails, DMs, popped into our Facebook group with suggestions, whenever you guys do that, we take them very seriously. And this episode is the result of that.
It is. And I love those suggestions. So keep them coming. Over the years, though, we've gotten this question a couple times, and I wanted to find an expert for it. It's how to deal with the beauty side effects of cancer and illness. It's something that, like, when you're worrying about your health, a lot of people are like, why would you even care about your appearance? But there's something about looking good when you don't feel good that just sort of elevates your mood. You know,
gives
that's
you hope.
Who you are.
Yeah, it makes you feel more like yourself. Like, you can have the strength and energy to go, you know, to fight, and also just feel connected to your life and, you know, recognize yourself.
Yeah. And so we got specific questions about dealing with cancer-related beauty side effects and cancer treatments. However, I think this interview with Caitlin Kiernan, I'll tell you about her in a second, I think this applies to so many people who might be dealing with a chronic illness and some of the side effects of that, you know, when your skin changes, your hair changes, or even just a temporary illness or a scar. Maybe you had surgery. We talk about, she has the best advice for dealing with a scar and preventing a scar from forming.
Also, even if you're not going through something like this, I think it's important to listen to, because I'm sure there's somebody in your life who is going through this, or sadly will go through this. It's just the reality of, it's just the statistical reality.
Yeah, tap the little share button and send it to someone. It also kind of says, I think about this when I have friends that are going through illness, like you often don't know what to say and you want to be helpful. Like maybe it's just like, here, I heard this, maybe it'll help you. I don't know. It might. Caitlin talks about that a bit in our interview about what that's like to go through these kind of things. So Caitlin is an editorial beauty director of Talk Shop Live. That's a leading streaming kind of social meets e-commerce platform here in the United States. Before that, she actually worked at Amazon on their beauty shopping platform. And she's been an on-staff beauty editor, beauty director for Life and Style Weekly and OK. She's written for the Wall Street Journal, Women's Health, People Style Watch. So the reason I wanted to have her on, I actually have known her for years. I did not know that she was a cancer survivor. She wrote the book on this. She wrote Pretty Sick, The Beauty Guide for Women with Cancer, and it came out in 2017. And so she wrote the book after going through her own experience with breast cancer, which you'll hear about. It's a complete guide to beauty during, after cancer treatment. And our interview covers skincare, and so does her book, hair care, wig shopping. She gets into wig shopping more deeply in her book, nail care, makeup, and more. So we're really excited to have her on the pod. It's just me and Caitlin. Jess was traveling the week that we did this interview, but I know you're going to love it. So please welcome Caitlin Kiernan. Hey, Kiernan, welcome to Fat Mascara.
Oh my God, it's such a thrill. I'm so obsessed with your podcast. You have been doing this for years, and it was just always such a buzzy thing in the beauty space as editors. Stop. We were always like, oh my God, Fat Mascara, did you listen to their latest episode? It's just, you know, I'm just thrilled to be here. So thank you so much for inviting me. It's a high point.
That means so much coming from you because you are like a beauty journalist, a beauty expert. You're so many things. And I brought you on to talk about a very specific topic. Before we get into that, let's just talk about you. How did you get into beauty?
You know, it was really by accident, to be honest with you. I started off as a fashion columnist and I loved fashion, but I was a broke kid growing up in the country, and I just could never afford all the amazing
clothes.
Wait,
where was the country? What country were you talking?
So, upstate New York, like country, okay. Upstate, where? You know, Ulster County. So, I grew up okay. In Ulster County and by a single mom, and we were broke, you know, like literally shopped for my school clothes at the Salvation Army, and always just grew up admiring fashion and wanting to be this fashionable woman, and I just couldn't afford it. And I started writing about fashion and I loved it, but I just felt the more that I was covering Fashion Week and doing all these things that I just was an outsider. And I loved beauty and I felt like I could look at Beyonce or J-Lo and see their makeup and I could run to my local pharmacy and buy makeup that look, you know, and match that look and live my life and tell my life story and aspire to be someone bigger and better through beauty. To me, beauty is democratic and I always felt welcomed in that space and I never felt like the weirdo. I just felt like I could tell my story through my hair and my makeup and my nails. So it was always home for me. It was just always this place of solace. And I, to be able to then become a beauty editor was a dream come true. It was never anything that was ever in my sight line. Like it was never anything people talked to me about. And so that's how I ended up in beauty.
But right now you're the beauty director of Talk Shop Live, right?
Yes. So
what is that? Yeah, what do you do?
I know. It's so, you know, I left the magazine world and I thought nothing could ever get better than that. And to me, I am now the beauty director of Talk Shop Live, which is the leading live streaming e-com platform. So we all know live content, live selling is a huge thing in Asia. And my boss, Brian, and his sister, Tina, Brian and Tina Moore, started this live streaming platform 4 years ago to bring live selling to America. And since that time, we are now the live streaming platform partner for Condé Nast, Hearst, MSN, New Beauty, Walmart. But like we are the way that brands are now redefining their content and selling their products in real time.
It's exciting. And you get to, I mean, I call it TV still, whatever. You're so amazing on TV and like talking about beauty. So it seems like a great
place for you to land. It's exciting. Yeah.
It, you know, honestly, it really was because it was nothing that I ever envisioned. You know, I was at Amazon and I was one of the 12 producers that actually helped launch Amazon Live, you know, with their first, you know, fashion and beauty show. And that was cool. But it, you know, America, it was so new to America that I feel like a lot of people didn't get it at the time. But now with TikTok and all these other live influences, it really is taking off. So it's interesting. It's fun. I enjoy it. Listen, I just love talking with people and I love beauty. So it's like a win-win for me.
I know, because you also have a podcast and have done that. So yeah. we'll have to talk about that too. But so the reason I reconnected with you now, like just so you guys know, Caitlin and I go way back. We came up in the beauty world together and would see each other from time to time at events. Caitlin, I never knew. So I was doing research for this particular podcast and I was like, I want to have someone come on to talk about the beauty side effects of illness, particularly cancer, but it's something that we've gotten so many questions about. I had no idea that you have been through this yourself. Yeah. I knew you had written a beauty book. I apologize. Before this podcast, I hadn't read it and I didn't know what it was about. So tell me about this. Do you mind sharing what your diagnosis was, when it happened, and how you became an expert on this thing that, like, honestly, nobody wants to have to be the expert on?
Yeah, it was 2012. It was right after my 40th birthday. And I went to my annual gyn. Well, I woke up one night and I rolled over and I felt like a kink in my breast. But I come from a family of women with cystic breasts, so I really didn't think much about it. I happen to have my annual gynecology appointment like 2 weeks later. The doctor's like, yeah, let's go get this checked out because I definitely feel something. I had 2 mammograms. Nothing showed up on a mammogram, but I felt it. So I insisted that they do a sonogram, and they saw something in the sonogram. I literally, by the way, had to be a total nightmare. I went in for my second mammogram. They're like, there's nothing going on. And I'm like, we feel it. I feel it. There is something in there. I want a mammogram. They're like, well, or a sonogram. They're like, well, you have to like clear that through your insurance. I called my insurance right there on the spot. They're like, well, if you can get your doctor to send over, like maybe we can get someone to like clear it. I said, I know you have doctors that are on for emergency purposes for clearances. I don't want to wait another 2 months for you to approve this. So approve it and let me have my sonogram. I waited 4.5 hours sitting in that doctor's office. I refused to leave. And within the first 2 minutes of doing the sonogram, they saw not only 2 lumps in this breast, but another lump in my other breast. So they did biopsies of just the right breast. And they were like, well, we'll have the results back in 7 days. The next day, I'm literally in my morning meeting surrounded by my staff of like 10 people. And I get a call from a random doctor that I have no idea. And they're like, your results are in and it's cancer. And I'm like trying to like act like nothing's wrong. I literally excuse myself.
Did you take that call in front of everybody?
Yes, because I thought it was my boss calling me about,
oh my gosh,
you know, something that we needed to talk about in the meeting. And I called my father and I was like, please, I checked out on that call. Like I literally, when they tell you, when people start talking to you, that you just blank out. But I didn't think that it was accurate. So I said to my dad, please, I called my father and I was like, listen, I'm in a meeting. This is the number of the doctor. I don't even know this doctor. Can you please call and like, because I don't even know what to say here. Yeah. My father, and I didn't hear back from my father, So I was like, oh, this is not good. And then I came back that I was diagnosed with stage 1 breast cancer. It was non-ductal. It was not in the ducts. It was like all the best case scenario of the whole thing. But I was told that I was going to need chemotherapy and radiation. And so I actually really originally wanted to just do a double mastectomy from the very beginning. By the way, the lump in the left breast came back that it was just, you know, like a, like, you know, it was just like a phantom thing. I wanted to do a mastectomy. My parents were like, please, no, like, please, like, let's just be very careful here. Or like, that's you're asking to put your body through a lot. But I was very nervous. Anyway, I ended up doing a lumpectomy. I got all the way through to radiation. And then they were like, well, we're going to have to radiate your right lung because of how, you know, I had very small, dense breasts. The tumor was resting very closely to the chest wall. They were afraid that maybe there was some penetration that maybe they couldn't see. And I just did not want to do radiation. You know, radiation basically makes the tissue, it like petrifies the tissue and it makes it very difficult to have any sort of reconstruction after the fact. I've heard horror stories. So I, at that point, just opted to do the double mastectomy.
So did you end up having to go through chemotherapy as well?
I did. I did all of the chemotherapy. Yeah. They do the chemotherapy first. Yeah, they do surgery. They extract the tumor to see what they're working with. And that indicates the type of treatment protocol that you'll have based on the DNA of your specific tumor.
Yeah. And clearly, you know, this podcast isn't a medical podcast. So if you're listening and you have questions about the stuff that Caitlin just talked about, go to your doctors and Absolutely. Resources for that. It's important to know, though, because it gives a basis for what we really are going to talk about, which is some of the aesthetic side effects of an illness like cancer and, more frankly, the treatments that come from it. I'm curious, obviously you did a lot of research as this was all going on. How soon after that phone call did you think about your appearance? Or was that like not even on your mind because you're just like, let me get healthy?
It was immediately on my mind. Listen, I'm a beauty girl. And you know, the interesting thing about cancer is that it's not the cancer that lets everybody know you're sick. It's the side effects. It's the losing your hair. It's the losing your eyebrows. You know, am I going to lose my hair is the first question every single doctor that I interviewed for my book told me that the first question they're asked after people get their initial diagnosis is, am I going to lose my hair?
Because like before they're like, what's my rate of, correct, you know, recurrence, correct, all that.
It's wow. always like, am I going to lose my hair? Because it is such a
Was that hair, your first question about your appearance?
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, what am I going to lose my hair? Like, what am I dealing with here? And of course it's like, yeah, you're going to lose your hair. You know, anybody who has, now chemotherapy has come a long way and we'll get into that in a minute. But at the time, what was being offered to me was, yes, you're going to do chemotherapy. You're going to lose your hair. And that to me is always really fascinating. But yes, I interviewed, you know, I immediately was told you have to find a oncologic surgeon. Because that's your first appointment. After you get your diagnosis, you have to find a surgeon, you have to get the surgery to extract the tumor. So I started meeting with a bunch of different oncologic surgeons. So it was actually Sonia Kashuk, so the celebrity makeup artist Sonia Kashuk, who ended up having a huge line in Target, who is also a breast cancer survivor and was really my mentor during the early stages of my cancer experience and cancer journey. And she said to me, I really need you to get to my doctor, Dr. Lisa Port. I went to meet with Dr. Lisa Port and I was literally like crying during the appointment, and she's talking me through a lot of stuff. And I dropped my tissue. And as I dropped my tissue, I looked under her the desk, and there was a Birkin bag. And I was like, I have found my woman. She had like the limited edition pale dove gray Birkin. And I was like, all right. And you know, she had a sleek bun, and she was like, you know, I'm here to help you. And
she wouldn't look down on your choices or your concerns.
When I said to her, I'm a single woman. I want to have my beautiful breasts. Like she got me. She didn't look down upon me for asking questions about what I was going to look like. And I, you know, we as cancer patients for the longest time have always been put down for asking questions about what is my reconstruction like? What kind of, you know, look am I going to deal with? The physical changes a woman experiences during a breast cancer journey are so dramatic. You're never the same person. And no one wants to tell you that, but that is 100%. You lose your hair, you lose your eyebrows, your breasts get cut off, you gain weight because of all the medicines. Like, it is such a hard journey just physically as a medical diagnosis. But then there's this physical component that no one allowed patients to really fully absorb and give them that time to really digest all of the things. Like that, it was like, you know, I remember saying to my doctor at one point, you know, I'm losing my hair's falling out. Like, what am I supposed to do? And he's like, hey, I'm here to help you live. I'm not worrying about your hair, but your hair is a huge part of it, you know, like it just really is. And so when I started going through the journey of all of and dealing with all, and I knew I was going to start dealing with all these side effects, I would get ahead of it and call all of the experts that I had interviewed throughout the course of being a beauty editor, and I'd be like, hey, I'm about to lose my hair. Like, I called Ted Gibson and I was like, hey, I'm about to lose my hair. I don't know what kind of a wig to shop for. I don't know how to transition from my long, thick hair to no hair. How can I do this? What am I going to do? And he was like, all right, we're going to cut your hair. We're going to get your hair, we're going to take you down to a pixie. We're going to start meeting with wig specialists now so that they can look at the type of hair you have and we can build a, they can build you a wig before you're going to get ahead of it. So, because it takes, a few weeks to get a wig made, sometimes a month, a good wig, if that's the route you're going. And, I started losing my hair on my second chemotherapy appointment. I remember it was literally the day before my third chemo treatment and I was in the shower and all my hair started just coming out in clumps. And I was like, oh shit, like I'm not ready for this.
And here you were being proactive and still not ready. Correct. I'm curious, as you were gathering this information, obviously you have this privileged position to have access to all these people. Did it cross your mind at the time, like, I need to keep this for a book?
No.
Like,
no.
You were just doing your own, like, I got to take care of myself. What am I going to learn?
I wasn't even thinking about a book. I really wasn't thinking about a book. I was just really very immersed in the journey and like really kind of worried about just my health. I was not feeling great. My skin was changing color every day. I knew I was in the best hands. I knew I had gotten a diagnosis early. So I knew that I was at least in a good situation, but I wasn't thinking about how to, change it. It wasn't until the very end. I remember sitting in the chemo suite and a woman said to me, oh, are you here? Because you go in groups. Like, there's always like waves. Like, there's the first group in the morning that goes through the chemotherapy and they're in their suites. And then, 4 hours later you come out and there's another group waiting to go in. And I remember sitting on the benches in Sloan and just, I don't know what I was doing. And some woman said to me, oh, are you here with someone? And I was like, no, I'm the someone. And she was like, wow, you look amazing. Because I got a certain chemo and I can't remember the name of it, but it was a chemotherapy that was developed in Canada. And it was a new chemo that would only result in hair shedding. So I eventually ended up not losing all of my hair. I did have to cut my hair short and kind of work around the loss of the hair that I was experiencing. But I was able to maintain, I was able to take care of my skin. I was able to get ahead of my nail issues and the nail loss and all that kind of stuff. And so I looked pretty good. And it was at that moment that I was like, wow, I've really been so blessed to be surrounded by people, experts that helped me manage my side effects, that I don't look like the patient. And I've been
Which
so blessed.
Which affects you emotionally, even looking in the mirror, not just the way other people treat you, right?
Yeah. And at the time, Jen, cancer treatment had come so far that people could still manage to get their kids on the bus in the morning, go into work, maintain a level of, in quote unquote, normalcy within their lives. But the beauty end hadn't caught up. There still wasn't the permission to be able to ask the questions or to care for yourself. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm the person that needs to get that information out there. And it was really writing Pretty Sick, The Beauty Guide for Women with Cancer, was my way of paying it forward to the people that were not in the same blessed position that I was. And so that's really how the book came to be.
And you touched on some issues that I do kind of want to get specific with you. That's why we're doing this. Before we do that, I'm curious, does it ever bother you to be known now, as this person? As you're talking to me, I'm like, I feel badly. I'm making you relive this experience. Are you am I ever going to get away from being the cancer survivor? Does that bother you that that's part of your identity?
No, not
at
all.
Do you think of it as part of your identity?
It is. It's a part of my identity. Absolutely. And I feel like, I think that that's the great, I think that here's the thing about cancer, and I never thought I would ever say this, but it actually, it changed my life in so many ways. I have so many amazing friendships from it. I learned so much about myself. I did not emerge the same person. I feel like I emerged a better person. And when you're in part of this sisterhood, whether you want to be part of it or not, you always want to be the person to help. It was like when I went to write my book, Coda's a survivor, and I reached out to her and she's like, absolutely. When you are a cancer survivor, you never think about what, you know, it's never a trade-off. It's never, you just want to help because you understand how hard that road has been. So to me, I just feel like it's honestly something I'm so proud of, that I was able to take a really dark moment in my life and help other people from it. Now, it is something that I don't make it part of my content. I know that there are people that are survivors and they kind of make it part of their continual journey, and that's great. I love that for them. But for me, I just, you know, it was a moment in my life that I'm happy to always revisit, but I don't want to live in it, you know? I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I know it happened a while ago, which is why I'm like, you know, I have you coming on, because I was like, well, I trust her. Because there's lots of other, you know, there's so much content now. There's so many influencers. There's a lot of people dealing with this right now. But I know you have the journalistic background, that you did your research, that you know what you're talking about. And so I feel like people are going to really appreciate some of the things that we're going to talk about. I want to talk about hair loss first, obviously, because you already brought it up. And it's clearly something that a lot of people deal with, maybe less so than they did, you know, 10 years ago, because the treatments have changed. So I know this is super specific, but how is this? And now clearly hair loss is in the news too, like with, you know, Jada with the alopecia, you know, endocrine disruption, hair loss, aging hair loss. How is this type of hair loss different? And what was your strategy?
Yeah. So, you know, like I said before, you know, the interesting thing about cancer is that it goes from being a personal journey to a private it goes from a personal journey to a public experience because of the side effects. The minute you start losing your hair and you walk down the street, people know that you're battling cancer. You don't get to keep that sense of privacy about what's happening with you. I think the same is true for things like alopecia, because all of a sudden people are looking at you. This isn't like a ball, I'm going to shave my head because this is what's trending. It's really what, and I think it's why so many people are so nervous about that aspect, and why it is the first question that they ask, because it is the thing that just robs you of that privacy. And it is, you know, hair is so much about our identity. Is, you know, whether you have a punky style, or you have long flowing locks, or you dye your hair a purple, you know, shade of purple. It is how we express part of who we are. So much of our identities is wrapped up in our hair, you know. As Ted Gibson says, hair is everything. Hair is who we are. And so when you don't have that, you lose part of yourself, you know, you immediately lose part of yourself. And I wasn't even worried about my hair so much as I was worried about my eyebrows, because I was like, oh my God, I'm going to look like a creepy alien, like without my eyebrows. Like a wig, I think as a beauty girl, I wasn't so scared about wigs, because I know that there are great wigs, and I see what all of these celebrities do with wigs. And I thought, oh, you know, I've always wanted to be a platinum blonde. I've always wanted to be able to have sleek, straight hair. And now I'll be able to
try
kind of dip into that a little bit for the time being. I really thought about it like, okay, this is going to suck, but I'm going to have some fun with it. I'm going to try to see the silver lining. But hair is absolutely so much of our identity. And I think without it, it really kind of rattles people.
Yeah. So you said that you got proactive, you cut your hair short, you started looking at wigs while the wig expert could still see the hair that you had.
Correct.
Which I think a lot of people at that point in their life aren't even thinking about, because they just want to, you know, get well. But that's really good advice. What did you do about the brows?
I really started getting my brow game on. I turned to Rami. You know Rami. He's a brow expert here in New York, and worked on a lot of celebrities. And I immediately went and was like, you need to teach me how to do my brows. You need to show me how.
Like to draw them on, even if there's no hair.
It's really hard when you don't have a guide. You know, it's hard enough to do your eyebrows when you have hair. Like, I don't know how to do my brows. I'm terrible at them. I have every single damn brow product in my beauty arsenal, and I still don't know how to do a good brow. I'm always amazed by people who can. But think about how hard that is when you don't even have those guides.
What did you do?
So Rami's like, okay, he showed me this trick where you line a pencil up against your nose that, and you make a dot right at where that pencil is. Then you find where your brow bone sticks out the most. And that's really generally where the arch of your brow is. And then you angle out that pencil from the corner of your eye and you make the third little dot. Right. And then you connect them. You basically use these.
So were you just drawing, would you suggest someone just draw on their skin with the product then if there's no hairs to follow?
Yeah, that's exactly what you do.
Like what kind of products are good for that kind of thing?
So you want to use a wax-based pencil because wax is going to adhere to your skin. And generally, here's the other problem is that when you're going through cancer treatment, you get the sweats. You start to sweat, you get cold, your body temperature changes by using wax. And then you can go over it with a powder product to kind of set it in place. You know, that's really the best way to...
So sketch on with a wax pencil.
Yes, sketch it out with a wax pencil. Use the structural high points of your face to guide that outline. And then you use the wax pencil, you layer it on with a powder product. And that's how you get... brows to look the best when you have no brows. Now, since that time, there have been stick-on adhesive brows made that are amazing. In fact, Dina Mandela, I think is her name. She was also a beauty editor who went through cancer treatment. She has a product line that created those brows, those stick-on adhesives that are gentle adhesive for cancer patients. They look so natural and you can reuse them. And I think that if you don't like to draw on a brow and you are cool with an adhesive.
Or you're not artistic.
That's the way to go. But there have been, there's now so many products that you can use to kind of help fake it. Until you make it kind of thing. But yeah, the brows were the tricky.
What about lashes?
Lashes are tricky, but you don't have lashes. And so the trick really is to use a soft brown or a taupe and just line your top lid to give your eye a little definition to, and I would just line it just a little bit, smudge it out a bit and leave it at that. Because really the eyes...
Like not worrying about fake lashes. I mean, you're getting chemotherapy. Like the last thing you want to do is get out the glue and like start putting on fake...
And you don't really want to be using any kind of, that's the only downside to using like adhesive stick-on brows is that some people have a higher sensitivity, even if they weren't normally don't. When you're going through treatment, your skin is highly sensitized.
Almost like you were using a lot of retinol. You're not supposed to wax your skin during that time. And the skin comes off. So you just did liner?
Did
you find that
like
sort of-
It created a little definition. It gave me my eyes a little definition without being too much work. Because listen, the added side to this is that you're exhausted. You're not feeling well. You don't want to you don't have the energy to do a lot of a full face of makeup. There are, getting back to the brows, though, I do want to say one thing. There are a lot of people that talk to me about, should I get microblading? Should I tattoo on my eyebrow? Should I do permanent eyeliner? Don't do any of the above. You are in a temporary moment of hair loss. I don't think tattooing on a brow.
Oh, it's like when you're having a breakup. Don't go get the haircut and the bangs right now.
There are people, I saw a situation where a woman had her eyebrows tattooed on when she was going through cancer treatment. And then when her eyebrows grew back, they were in a completely different place and shape than the tattoo. Like force through the trees. You got to force through the trees.
No.
It's a sucky situation, cancer treatment. But you know what? It's temporary. Don't do anything permanent. You want to do microblading after the fact, wait until your eyebrows are back in. And
yeah, because your hair could come back a different texture, color, all
so
that, right?
Don't do those. Yeah. Don't do anything permanent.
That's something to be aware of, actually. So I know you didn't lose all of your hair, but when it started growing back in, was it like, wait, I have to learn how to style a new set of-
my hair grew back a completely different color and a completely different texture. My hair in the places, my hair is now like three different textures because my hair grew back so curly, kinky, like Bob Ross curly underneath. Like I have parts of my hair and it's so funny to see and it's never gone away. It's never changed. So if I don't blow out my hair, I have literally like crazy hair. And people are like, oh my God, your hair is so bohemian. It's amazing. And I'm like, mm-hmm, yeah, great. It requires like work to do it. So yeah,
So be prepared that like you're going to have
Here's the interesting thing about hair. There's a few things to keep in mind. First of all, when your hair starts to grow back, it will grow back and fall out again in one cycle after it starts to grow out. So it's like, even with my brows, they grew back in, then they fell out again, then they grew back in again. The same with my hair. Your hair goes through a cycle. And also in my book, Joan London gave me an amazing tip that I never thought about that everybody needs to think about. Don't dye your hair the first 6 months of your hair growing back, whether it's your eyebrows or your hair, because you still have the chemotherapy agents in your hair. And when Joan dyed her hair blonde the first time, it turned a neon orange, and then it like turned like a—
oh, like the metals and things that are in your body.
The So you really want to give your hair almost a full cycle of growing in. And when I say a full cycle for your hair on your head, you want to wait at least 6 months before you do anything to it. You really have to be very careful because hair, you know, contains all those, you know, it's growing out through the follicles that are housing all of these chemical treatments.
It's good advice. Hey everyone, it's Jen, and I have decided this is going to be the summer of uniform dressing. I'm going to have a few pieces on heavy rotation, and I'm telling you right now, they're all going to be linen, and they're all going to be from Quince. I don't know why I'm going so hard on linen right now, but it just feels right. And Quince specializes in timeless pieces made of premium fabric, and the best part is that all the Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. I am personally very into the 100% European linen pants. They're cropped and easy. There's even a cute pinstriped version. And when I wear them, I look like I just stepped off a yacht. Do I have a yacht? No. Do I know what yachters wear? No, but that's the vibe. The linen pants come in sizes extra small to 3X, and they're less than $40. Okay, like 10 cents less. They're $39.90. But the quality is excellent, and they wash really well. How does Quince do it? They cut out the cost of the middleman and pass the savings on to us. Plus, Quince works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/fatmascara for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com, Q-U-I-N-C-E, quince.com/fatmascara to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/fatmascara. Summer is fast approaching, which means it's shapewear season. Just kidding. It's really wedding season. But I just got an invitation to a wedding in Philadelphia, and guess what I'll be wearing? Honey Love. I'm not sure about the rest of the outfit or the dress, but the shapewear is going to be Honey Love. Here's why. Honey Love has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating when you're wearing shapewear. Plus, they have lingerie-inspired design details that you'll want to show off, and all their fabrics are breathable to keep you nice and cool, which is perfect for hot days. Let me tell you a story. I remember being at a wedding, this was a few years ago, pre-Honey Love, and I wore a jumpsuit, and I wasn't sure if the bathroom door locked well, but I had to take off the entire jumpsuit and then roll down the shapewear to pee, and I was like holding onto the back of the door at the same time, completely naked in the bathroom, and it took so long, and I caused this whole backup of the bathroom line, and after that, I was like, never again. Until Honey Love came along. Honey Love's superpower shorts have a 100% cotton gusset, so you don't have to wear underwear underneath. And there's a convenient opening in the underwear area, so you don't have to take off the whole thing to go to the bathroom. It's so easy. Honey Love products make you look good and feel good. Whether it's for a wedding, event, an everyday boost of confidence, Honey Love is the perfect plus one. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. That's honeylove.com/mascara. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off. The summer vibes are just getting started, so shape your life with Honey Love.
Okay, everyone, I am one of those people who, when it comes to wellness, sorry, but it's got to fit into the pockets of my day. 5 minutes here, 7 minutes there, when I'm like in the kitchen and I'm microwaving something long, it's got to be convenient. And that is why Alo Moves works for me. My mindset has changed. The app makes it easy for me to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place and bite-sized little bits. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, so much more. From beginner to advanced, Alo Moves has the flow or class that's going to fit into your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what you're feeling that day.
You know what feeling I'm feeling most days? I'm feeling 10 minutes. I've been doing Joanna Thompson's. Right? That's about it.
Yeah, that's good.
10 minutes. Joanna Thompson does these yoga lattes in 10. One day will be abs. One day will be arms. Today, Jess, is booty day. And we're just going to get it done. All in 10 minutes. If you're trying to get a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like the sweat-inducing yoga flows or the reformer Pilates workouts without weights. You can also find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, learn to do dry brushing. How many times have we talked about dry brushing on this podcast? Alo Moves will teach you how to do it.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use the code MASCARA20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. alomoves.com, code MASCARA20.
The skin thing is interesting to me because we had somebody write in about like their skin has never, and their lips actually, been drier. And it was like, I don't even know what to ask because like this is a different kind of dryness than the kind of dryness that you experience from anything else. What happened to your skin when you went through your treatment? And what do you suggest for people that have their skin changing?
My skin was terrible. First of all, I broke out into hives. I had like an allergic reaction to the chemotherapy. Then I got cystic acne. Then I got extremely dry. And yes, of course, with your lips, because your lips, as you know, do not contain oil glands. So it's that much harder to get your lips to stay hydrated. The problem with that is that you also can't use a lot of actives, you know, active ingredients that are great for hydrating your skin. You're not allowed to use retinol. You're not allowed to use anything with an antioxidant because really when you think about it, antioxidants are the things that keep our cells alive, but you don't want to be using something that's going to keep the cells alive when your chemotherapy is trying to kill all the cells. And chemotherapy kills all the cells because it doesn't know the good cells from the bad cells.
Right.
So, you know, it's just part of, it's a shitty situation, but you know.
Wait, who gave you your list of like, do not uses when you were going through treatment, the oncologist?
Yes. Yes. My oncologist did say my oncologist made me stop taking all vitamins. My oncologist was like, you need to just get to basics, like Cetaphil, CeraVe, La Roche, like these kind of super basic skincare lines were my go-to.
And it was no acids,
no nothing. You are just literally taking your shower, getting your skin wet, and then layering on products that are just going to really have great emollients in them and peptides and things that are like, you know, like things that are just kind of like—
Peptides are allowed.
Correct. Peptides are allowed because they're basically emollients. But like, you know, antioxidants, you just have to stay away from.
Was there any, you named three lines there, but was there any like moisturizer or hydrating ingredients that you were like, this saved me or that you've like told other patients about?
Yeah. Vaseline, Aquaphor. I mean, I know just people like, are like, oh, it's
you were slugging before slugging was cool.
Yeah, but you know, people that don't understand how petrolatum works, the core ingredient in, you know, Aquaphor, Vaseline, people say petroleum as though it's like the petroleum you're putting in your car. People get informed. That's not, you know, that is not the same thing. And it can be a really great product to layer on top of a basic cream. But I love the Cetaphil and the CeraVe's, you know, they have great ingredients. They're really healthy for your skin, but you do have to, you know, you have to do a little research and you want to clear everything through your doctors. Also, here's the thing, and a lot of people don't know this, most cancer institutions, most hospitals have an on-site cosmetic dermatologist who can work with you to help you come up with your skincare line. All you have to do is make an appointment with them, you know, and you should do that.
As part of your medical treatment.
Correct. So you should be asking your oncologist, hey, does the hospital have a, you know, cosmetic oncologist or, dermatologic oncologist or someone like that that I can work with to help me select my skincare that's going to help me get through this. And a lot of things, even in, you know, scar treatment and radiation treatment to help keep your radiated skin soft. You know, you want to be working with those people very early on before you even start radiation so you can get your skin in the best condition for when you start doing those things.
I do want to ask you about scars, but you brought up something that made me think, you know, there's been in the last 10 years, all of this talk about clean beauty. And a lot of times the founders come to me and say they started their line. There's often like a cancer story in their family, or because, you know, my friend was going through cancer treatment, they made her cut out all the stuff. So they connect that and they think, you know, all those things are bad. They're what caused the cancer. Or, you know, there are some carcinogenic cosmetic ingredients, you know. Have you changed? Do you worry about the beauty products that you use now? Have you changed what you do because you're a cancer survivor?
You know, it's so funny that you asked me that because I am one of the few cancer people that divert from this mentality. I understand why people want to go all natural. I try to choose clean products when I can, but I will say that ingredients and delivery systems are more important than a clean formula in total. And I'll give you a perfect example. Like, here's the thing, you know, poison ivy is all natural. I'm not going and rubbing that all over my body. Mercury, arsenic, these are all things that are all natural. I'm not using them on my body. You know what I'm saying? Like, not all natural ingredients are the best ingredients. Here's an example. You know, many years ago, people going through cancer treatment would take oatmeal baths. They would pour a whole thing of real oatmeal in their bath, sit in that bath to help calm their skin. Fast forward many years later, we have brands like Aveeno who have been able to isolate the molecules in the oat that help to calm and neutralize your skin and help you get a fast fix. And that's where you see delivery systems actually being better than the actual core natural ingredient. No one has the time or the energy to clean up a bath full of dirty oats and wait hours on end for it to work. I need something that's going to work now and going to be effective. You know, efficacy of products and delivery systems are more important to me than sticking to a hard line, fast rule of a clean formula. And so I understand that people... where that comes from, but I don't operate off of fear. I operate based on science-based and evidence-backed products. And that's what I, you know, choose to use, especially during medical situations like a cancer diagnosis.
And so after your treatment was done, there was no like, here's the list, never use these again. It was more because you were dealing with the side effects of the treatment that you were asked not to use
particular
products?
No, I think I absolutely became more aware of what I was putting in and on my body. Absolutely. But I don't stick to that hard and fast rule of using all natural. I also feel like, you know, and I love a lot of all natural brands, but there are also a lot of all natural brands that are smaller that don't have the money to invest in the clinicals and to really show that those products work. You know, it's one of the reasons why my doctor was like, I really don't want you taking vitamins during your cancer, you know, during chemotherapy, because we don't have any evidence. There haven't been clinicals on 99.9% of the vitamins out there. We don't know how they're going to affect your chemotherapy, you know, working. And so,
or maybe there's some preservative in there we didn't realize would have a bad reaction.
Correct. Yeah. So it's like, you know, I just don't think there's, we have FDA clearance on organics in food. We don't in beauty. And until that time comes where we have regulations and real clear testing data, I'm going based on the science and the evidence that
product by product. And looking,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You did bring up scars, which is something regardless, like a lot of people deal with, not even cancer survivors, you know, illness, surgeries, accidents, you know, that cause scars. What's some of the advice you got from the experts you spoke to, or you still do? This is like what you do. What do you do about scars?
The number one thing that is affordable for every single person to use is scar patches, these silicone-based things like Mederma, you know, things like, I can't even remember them, but they're like basically silicone patches.
An occlusive silicone patch.
Correct.
Yeah.
The way that they work is that the pressure that is applied helps to actually stop the fibroblast, which is the cell or the mechanical, you know, the mechanics.
Oh my
in
God,
the skin.
You have no idea. Fibroblasts are like a joke on this podcast because every time I try and explain them to Jess, she's like, I zoned out 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. I mean, basically, they are what continue to make cells produce, and that's what leads to red, ropey scars. And by using a silicone, a pressure silicone patch that applies that pressure, it indicates to the fibroblast that the healing is kind of done and that it doesn't need to overly produce. That's how you prevent the redness, the buildup of the scar. There are a lot of doctors.
So even more important than the active ingredient in it, like Mederma also has a topical active ingredient. You correct. Want the physical.
The physical pressure yes. is okay. actually what works. Now, it does take daily use for months on end for it to work, but it is a game changer. And I interviewed in my book a doctor who is a scar specialist. There are a lot of doctors that are like, just wait a month. No, the way you want this, the way you want to do it from the top experts in scarring in the world are that the minute that your scar has healed, meaning that you don't have stitches, that it is closed up, that the healing process has started, you
so
get
the
those,
wound. As soon as the, so wound,
the wound is healed,
is yes.
healed, you start applying those patches and you wear them for months. I mean, I wore my patches for probably 8 months. After that, the scars that did remain, now I have that pale Irish skin, so I immediately, my scars automatically get red and ropey. I then went and had laser treatment to minimize it even further. But, you know, laser is expensive. So what I say to everybody is go out there, get a good silicone patch, ask your doctor which ones they recommend, and wear them like underwear. Wear them every day, all day. And, you know, that is what is going to help your scar be less visible and more, yeah. You know, which is, listen, a scar is a scar, but you can help minimize how horrible it looks by just simply using scar patches.
I like feel badly that I'm going through like, and this happens, what do you do about it? And this happens. There's one more thing you brought up that before we, you know, sort of wrap up, you mentioned your nails.
Yeah.
And this was news to me as I was doing research for this podcast that your nails like basically fall off and stop growing. What happened to you and what do you recommend?
You are going to either lose your nails or you're going to experience nail indentations, things like that. The problem is that, you know, you don't really see the damage until 3 months after the fact because your nails grow at such a slow rate. And there's really not much you can do. Your nails are going to get weak. They're going to get brittle. My nails never came back. You know, I wear acrylics now because my nails have never came back. No matter what I do, I've talked to every expert. I've used every oil and nail strengthener, nothing works for me. I mean, my nails literally will peel down to my cuticle. It's terrible.
That sounds painful.
It is. It's painful. It leaves my nails so sore. And
but you're not allowed to do acrylics while this is happening.
No. And you shouldn't do anything with your nails, to be honest with you. If your nails start to fall off, you really just want to do you sometimes want to do soaks that are antibacterial soaks, but these are all things you need to be talking to your doctor about and your dermatologist. There are a lot of now nail dermatologists, and even at UPenn, there is a whole nail dermatology department, and I interviewed one of the doctors from there for my book. But, you know, that is just, it's just one of the side effects. But I actually want to talk about something that's more important than the nails that you probably don't even think about, which is scents. The scent, your sense, the sense of smell, because this is something everybody needs to be aware of from the minute they hear their diagnosis. Scent is going to be the first thing that changes. And so the first thing that I did, and I had an experience, so back up just a year before, I had major back surgery. And during that back surgery, it was terrible. I had to have a rod put in my back. I had to learn how to walk. I'm literally like a walking disaster, if you couldn't tell.
You're and so not.
I mean,
maybe physically.
I physically,
not the rest
am
of you.
Like a hot mess. And during that time, I was using one of my favorite face creams, and it did have a scent to it. And I remember that after that whole journey, 6 months later, I got another bottle of it. It was so expensive. It was a very expensive cream. And I started using it. And I started having flashbacks to my back surgery and my recovery of when I couldn't walk and when I couldn't stand up and when I was trying to learn how to walk and how devastating it was that I thought I would never walk again. And I immediately, when I was diagnosed with cancer, was like, I've got to swap out all of my core beauty products right now.
I don't want the scent association.
Because I don't want the scent memories. And my most important tip. And it's the first chapter in my book. And I remember my publisher being like, we want to start with hair. You don't want to talk with scent. And I'm like, you have to talk with scent because it's the first thing that's going to change. And it starts the minute you sit in that doctor's office, the smell that you even take with you from that doctor's office, you're going to remember. So you want to swap out all of your favorite products, put them on the shelf. You will come back to them. And you want to start using things that are not going to have any scent to them because you don't want your favorite perfume, your favorite face cream, your favorite body lotion, your favorite hair products to ever be associated with your cancer journey. And it was the smartest thing that I did. I still use products, you know, occasionally I still had a fragrance, but it was a fragrance that I knew I would never use again. And actually one time I walked by a department store many years later, walked by a department store and a woman sprayed that scent. And by the time that I left the store, I was literally on the verge of tears. Even talking about it now brought me back to, oh my God, I would use this when like family would come over when I was sick and they wanted to check in on me. And I wanted to kind of put my best face forward and I would spray perfume and that perfume brought me back and I can't even smell it to this day. So my most important tip to everybody is swap out your scent related products, all your beauty products, and start with something fresh for the time being. And actually use it as a time to splurge on yourself. Buy that expensive cream that you know you'll never be able to afford again.
You're gonna use it for 6 months or whatever it is.
Yeah, indulge. Because you know, if these are things that you normally can't afford, you know, this is the time to do that, to really indulge yourself. And you deserve it. And you know you'll never come back to it. And it'll be one of the reasons why you don't. It'll actually be a win-win for you.
That's funny. I was going to ask you, is there anything else you learned in this book or learned during your journey that you wanted to share with people? That scent thing is a great one. Is there anything else I didn't ask you that I should have?
No, I think that's the big one. Also, you know what? Listen, my other big thing is not a beauty. It really is a more of a philosophy. The cancer journey is a really shit time. And I always said, like, don't try to be positive. Those people that are like, a positive outlook results in a positive, you know, diagnosis and journey. That's horseshit. Really, the way you get through it is just to find the silver lining in every situation. Every day is going to have really bad moments. And if you can say, okay, you know what? I'm going to lose my hair, but I'm going to start wearing slutty wigs and be that, you know, I'm going to have these, you know, personas and I'm going to make a fun moment of it. Or I'm going to use this time to kind of just take a step back from my busy schedule and just make it about me. And you know, it's also a time where you get to pivot in your life and people understand. I made some really crazy, major dramatic changes during this moment. I quit my job. I broke up with my boyfriend of 9 years. I made major pivotal shifts and people were like, oh my God, are you okay? And I'm like, you know what? This is the one time I get the freedom to just do me. So use it as a positive experience in your life and just look for the happy moments because, you know, even on the darkest night, stars are beautiful. It really is just the perspective.
Yeah. Great advice. Before I let you go, I got to do the Fat Mascara 5 with you. I have like a little speed round of fun. You've given us so much to think about. I know this is what you do all the time on Talk Shop Live. Come on. we didn't talk about types of cancer and all that. Clearly that's a medical podcast, but
yeah,
you know, we do talk about skin cancer a lot because, you know, that's something that there is sunscreen that can partially help prevent that from happening. Mm-hmm. I've never met a beauty writer or journalist who doesn't have a favorite sunscreen. Do you?
Isdin.
Yeah. Okay.
Love Isdin.
The shaky one?
Yeah.
The little thin fluid one? Very nice.
I actually have a box of it right here. I just got a new box of it, so I'm so excited.
It's a good one. So what song always cheers you up? How do we find that silver lining? What's the soundtrack for you?
It's kind of not like a cheery song, but it's The Forest from The Cure. I love that song.
Makes you feel good. Okay.
Yeah, I love it.
And what, I know nausea is clearly a side effect. It's a weird question, but what was your like comfort food when you didn't want to eat? Was there anything that felt good to you to eat? What's your comfort food today even?
I love Mexican food. But you know, again, this is...
I don't know if you want to have Mexican right after chemotherapy.
Well, this is just the thing. You know, it's the same thing with your scent memory. You know, your taste buds change. So I really stayed away from all my favorite foods during my chemotherapy. That was another thing because it all plays into that whole taste scent thing. And so I really did live on pizzas and I lived on a lot of like weird pizzas. Like I would have them put like pineapple and stuff, which I normally never do, which is fine because those are not pizzas I'm eating now, but I lived for pizza. Yeah.
So what's your today? Just forget the cancer thing. What's your like indulgent, favorite indulgent snack?
Yeah. Mexican food. Yeah. My dream date is not like, you know, per se or La Bernadette. It's straight up bring me to like the best Mexican joint. I'm down for that.
So what makeup product gives you an instant pick me up?
I love a good highlighter.
What's in rotation right now?
In rotation right now, I have the Chanel stick highlighter and the Fenty Balm.
Chanel stick, that's a Baume one, like Baume Essentiel or whatever it's called.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's like a highlighter or just like a gloss face.
Subtle.
I love it. I also love the Rare Beauty.
Oh, yes.
So
I like
good.
Her blush. And then the Fenty one, that's like the megawatt.
Yeah, that's like a high shine, like disco night, you know, which I'm not opposed to on occasion.
I could see it.
It also doubles as like an eyeshadow. So I kind of am down with that.
Oh, good to know. What's the last product you put on before you go to bed?
You know what? I go to sleep with my Thrive overnight mask. Love that shit.
I love that one.
So good.
Yeah.
You're only supposed to use them like every 3 days and then take a week off. But I just love it. I really do. So after all my skincare, right before I get into bed, that goes on my face.
For your beauty sleep. I like that. Caitlin, I really appreciate you being so open. Like, I felt a little invasive with some of my questions, but I thank you so much for coming. And I know that this will help so many other people. So thank you.
This has been a thrill. Love the friend of the pod, So thank you so much for having me. The work you do is amazing. I've always been such a big fan, your writing and everything. So, and it's been nice, like following your journey. So thank you for having me on. It's been an honor.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us, or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com.
We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.